Let's read this passage all together now, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The word goodness here is slightly different than the word we looked at last week in gentleness, which is really just the idea of kindness, not just a disposition, but also action. Goodness is similar. The word in the Greek is agathosune, and the idea is, if you look at the way it's used in the three other places in the New Testament, and the fact that it comes from agathos, it means this: moral excellence, uprightness of heart and life, active goodness. Another word you could use maybe would be benevolence. Goodness is the word, and it comes from the word for good, or upright, virtuous. And so it's used in a few different passages in the New Testament. Romans 15, 14. It talks about being full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. In Ephesians 5, it connects goodness with the fruit of the Spirit and righteousness and truth. Also 2 Thessalonians 1:11, the prayer of the apostle to the believers there is that our God would count you worthy of his call, of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. It's something, that verse indicates especially, that comes from God and from him alone. In a world that redefines good by feelings and trends, the Spirit demonstrates through us, through God alone, what is truly good. Right? If love is not a feeling, and it doesn't come from you. If joy is not simply a feeling, and it's not self-produced, if peace is not simply a feeling, and it's not self-produced, if long-suffering is not simply a feeling, and it's not self-produced, and kindness is not simply a feeling, and it's not self-produced, what do you think goodness is not and not? Goodness is not simply a feeling, and it's not self-produced. It comes from God himself. It comes from the Spirit living through you. It's not just politeness. It's not passive virtue, but it's active. And it's active in its reflection of God's character, because he is active in his goodness. He doesn't just say good things. He does good things. God is absolutely good. And he wants to show that to us, and he wants to demonstrate that through us as well. So what is the nature of goodness, besides maybe a definition and overview of terms, a simple definition and overview of terms. Here's a hopefully helpful definition for you. Long one that maybe you'll have time to write down, maybe you won't. Definition here is of the word for goodness. It is a Spirit-produced quality of moral excellence demonstrated in uprightness of heart and life, a commitment to doing what is right in the sight of God by generosity, truth-telling, and correction, especially when it's costly. Goodness is the Spirit-produced quality of moral excellence demonstrated in uprightness of heart and life, a commitment to doing what is right in the sight of God through generosity, truth-telling, and correction, even when it's painful or even when it's costly. This is a term that has at its root the very character of God. God is good. We say that often. At least I hope you say that often. But does that mean anything to you? Is his goodness, the fact that every decision he makes is just and true and correct and self-sacrificial, does that really impact your thinking and actions? God himself is good. In fact, there is no one other than God that is good. Matthew 19, 17. Jesus asked this guy who came to him and wanted something from him. He says, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Good. God is the only one who's good. The word good also describes something that is in opposition to evil. Maybe that seems self-evident, but goodness today is so fuzzy in its understanding by our culture, and that affects us, whether you want it to or not. Goodness is in opposition to evil, okay? It is the opposite of evil. Romans 12:21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." It's the opposite. Work what is good, what is well-pleasing, and that is what we're commanded in Hebrews. But we need to understand that goodness, the nature of goodness, is found in God's character. God's essence is goodness. Psalm 119:68 says, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Exodus 34:6 says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God." It connects it to these character qualities of God: merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in what? Goodness. And it's connected to truth. Goodness and truth. A lie is not good, right? It is good to speak the truth, because God speaks the truth. And I just find it fascinating that God's character in this way is connected to mercy, grace, long-suffering, and truth. These things will make the difference in our lives as we demonstrate God's character, because he's working through us. Ephesians 5:9, "The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So there's a sense of the rightness and the trueness of something that makes that is necessary for something to be good. Just being good to someone, or rather, being good to someone is not just maybe avoiding conflict. It's not just, it's not just doing what's not best, or being nice to them, right? It's not simply that, but it has their good in mind, right? These, you'll notice that these, again, kind of flow out of the first three character qualities of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. This one especially comes out of love. If love is willing the good of the other, goodness is seeing that played out in action, no matter the consequences, no matter the cost. So that's the nature of goodness. So how does goodness happen? How does goodness happen in your life? Try harder? Go through a program of some sort to make you good? No. The goodness of God happens in your life. It's produced in your life by the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit, which means, look back at Galatians chapter number 3 in your Bibles, verse 3. It means this is true about goodness. "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that ye Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? The idea of accomplishing the will of God, does that happen by self-effort, by self-dependence? No, it happens in a walk with God. It happens with walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of necessary to understand, as Romans makes clear to us all throughout, that there is not one good person. No, not one. And if we don't have it in and of ourselves, then the only way that we can get it is by the work of the Holy Spirit, the result of a walk with the Holy Spirit, a walk with God. So it's a fruit of the Spirit. That's the first understanding you need to have about how it happens. How do you become good? The second concept to really get down into your soul is that God is the one who works it in us. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11 says this: "We pray for you always that our God will make you worthy of his calling and fulfill by his power your every desire for goodness and every work of faith." In other words, the apostle, in at least this one prayer, if not others, prays that God is the one who fulfills the desire to live out the goodness that he's put into your heart. He's the one who does the work. And so looking to him is the resolution for an idea of goodness, right? You live out goodness by letting him enable you. By the way, look at Ephesians chapter number 2. It's probably just one page over if you have a Bible like mine. Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says this: "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So God, this is who we are. That's the third thing that we need to get down into our soul. It's who we are. So yes, our flesh, and yes, there is none good, no, not one. We have a little bit different of a standing, don't we? Because it's not as though we are resigned to living out the life that we had before we were a believer. It's not as though we're helpless. It's not as though we're some wretched, broken, sad individual that will only ever see the goodness of God through them in eternity. No, we're made. We're his workmanship. We're created to walk in good work, to walk in this thing, right? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's who we are. We are made. Because of our position, if you're a believer here this morning, because of your position in Christ, because of the fact that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and is a part of you, you are not hopeless. This is who you are. And God has decided that you not only should walk in these things like goodness, have this in your life, but you can. So what stops us from thinking that we can? What stops us from thinking, when I'm tempted to blow up at this person who's irritating me, what stops us from thinking, no, that's not who I am in Christ? I'm created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I'm created to respond in the correct way. It's because we have a small vision of who we are, because we have a small vision of who God is. If God made you for good works, and he's chosen that you should walk in those good works, then why do you think you're so helpless and so broken that you can't see that? It's an affront to God himself and to his power and to his plan and purpose in your life. And it looks like this. Here's the evidence. It comes out in upright character. It's not superficial. It's not situational. It's something that's consistent. It's a character thing. It comes out in action. In Acts, the scripture tells us in a narrative that was being spoken there, it talks about how Jesus went about doing good. That's what Jesus did. He acted righteously. And believers in Titus 2 are called a set apart people and zealous of good works. It comes out in action. This is the evidence. Righteous action, doing the right thing. It also comes out in confrontation. Maybe you've never thought about that, but it does. Goodness is demonstrated in confrontation. Because the way that you handle conflict says a lot about what's going on the inside. Romans 15, when it's talking about the conflict that people have about beliefs and how you ought to treat each other, in Romans 15, 14, these two phrases, full of goodness, able also to admonish one another. Are you able to admonish people, and are you able to be admonished? Like if someone comes to you and says, hey, I see this in your life, and you need to change, are you able to take that? Are you able to go to someone and say, hey, I see this in your life, and you need to change? Are you able to do that? Or are you so looking on your own things and not every man on the things of others that you never confront another for their good? And so goodness is not an excuse for overlooking sin. In fact, our very next chapter, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you know, if he's caught in some sin, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There is an addressing and correcting, a confronting of sin, that is a part of goodness. It doesn't dismiss it or excuse it. There's also an aspect of generosity and mercy to this word as well. Look at that verse again, verse 1. In the spirit, restore, in the spirit of meekness considering yourself, so that you're not tempted. Hebrews 13:16 talks about doing good and communicating or giving, being generous. Galatians 6, a few verses down. Verse 10, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do what? Good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, do good to all. That's what it looks like. That's the evidence of goodness. It looks like character. It looks like action. It looks like confrontation or reaction. And it looks like generosity and mercy in it all. Here's what it doesn't look like. The counterfeits, or the opposites is maybe a better word for goodness. the opposites of goodness. It is not mere niceness. Goodness is often costly and takes a lot of courage. When Jesus talked about taking up your cross and following him, the implication is that there's a cost, a heavy cost to following him. And it's not mere niceness, because it's not people-pleasing. It's God-pleasing. And so it's not just being nice, but it's being pleasing to God. It's not legalistic morality either. It's not an attempt at an appearance of good without a heart change. It's spirit-produced, meaning that it's humble and it's sincere. And so it's not self-focused or self-dependent. But if you'll notice the verses up there, the opposites of goodness. If we think about goodness in terms of moral uprightness, that word good, agathos, the opposite, of course, most simply is evil. Romans 12:21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." If we think about goodness in terms of correction, the opposite of that might be malice. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." The correction that you might give to someone is completely free from malice, from ill will toward that person. In other words, goodness, in correction, always has the good of them in mind, rather than getting back at them, rather than making your own life easier, rather than any other of these things that we are self-focused and self-produced. If we think about goodness in terms of active virtue, in terms of action, the opposite of that is going to be indifference, right? Revelation 3 is where Jesus says to the church of Laodicea, "Because you are lukewarm," in other words, because you are neither hot or cold, indifferent is what he's getting at, "because you're indifferent, I will spew you, I'll throw you up out of my mouth." The opposite of indifference. It's also the opposite of fleshly effort, simply because it's spirit. It's a spirit-produced thing. It's not a self-produced thing. And so maybe you can think about better in terms of your own life, in the day-to-day, how much of your life is actually characterized by goodness and how much is not. You might ask, why does it matter? Why does it matter that goodness is a part of my life? Well, besides the fact that God just tells us that it ought to be a part of our life and it's a matter of obedience, it glorifies God. Goodness glorifies God. Matthew 5:16, Jesus talks about letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, if people see your good works, your Father will be glorified. Okay? That's an amazing thing. We have an opportunity to glorify God in our good works to those around us. 1 Peter 2:12 tells us that good works kind of prove the gospel truth. It says, "And maintain good conduct among the non-Christians, among unbelievers, so that though they now malign you as wrongdoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God when he appears." Your goodness testifies to the character of God and testifies to the gospel itself. In other words, you damage the gospel if this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is not in your life. You damage the gospel message. You can be an amazing preacher of the gospel, but if it's not backed up by goodness, your message means nothing. Absolutely. I think of James was telling me of a man at an abortion clinic protesting and basically being the exact opposite of this this part of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, yelling at people, cussing at people, being just a general disruption with nothing about uprightness and virtue on his mind, except for maybe self-righteousness, an idea of self-promotion or aggrandizement because he's better than these people. And it just totally damaged, am I correct in saying that? It totally damaged the people who would have heard that and totally negated the message that maybe he was trying to put forward. But our goodness, when our actions back up our words, it glorifies God. Another impact of goodness is that it serves others. Look at Galatians 6 again, verses 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not, as we have therefore, again, we read that verse, opportunity, let us do good, especially to the believers. There's an eternal benefit, but also an immediate benefit to others. That's part of the impact of goodness. And then finally, similar to the fact that it glorifies God, is that goodness confirms our testimony. It confirms our testimony. James 3, verse 13 says this, who is wise and understanding among you? That's what James' emphasis is on in his letter. And he comes to this statement, who is wise and understanding among you? Who thinks that they have it down when it comes to this idea of wisdom? He says, by his good conduct, he should show his works done in the gentleness that wisdom brings. In other words, good conduct confirms the testimony. It confirms your teaching. It confirms wisdom. Titus 3, verse 8 says, be careful. Talks about being careful to maintain good works. This is a faithful saying, Titus 3, 8. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So it confirms our testimony, the impact of goodness. Just like joy that we talked about back with our message on joy. The joy that Paul and Silas had in jail at Philippi, that confirmed their testimony, right? That proved, without a program of a gospel tract, without an outline of things you need to say to get someone saved, their joy was what did it. Their joy was what demonstrated the gospel. And the same goes for goodness. And so as we think about how to implement goodness in our lives going forward this week, we need to think about this. Goodness is more than being nice. It's the Spirit-empowered pursuit of what is right, just, and holy. You know, the only way to really reach someone in a way of life is to live that life. And that pretty much goes for most things. Like if you want to help someone eat healthy, let's say, eat healthy yourself. especially if you're like the parents of the kid, right? Eat healthy yourself. If you want others to be fit and healthy, be fit and healthy yourself. If you want people around you to have more compassion, be compassionate yourself. If you want people around you to stand up for what's right, stand up for what's right yourself. Your example is going to say more than anything you could say with your lips. And Jesus himself demonstrated this when he walked on earth, did he not? I imagine that every bad thing, every evil thing that Jesus saw, he didn't immediately correct by calling it out in word. But he demonstrated. He absolutely demonstrated in every action goodness. And he modeled everything about goodness that we ought to have in our own lives. And back to the confrontation point. Did that mean that Jesus never confronted people? No. No, he's a pretty confrontational guy, wasn't he? But it was all in goodness. It was pursuit of what is right, just, and holy. And in it all, he never sinned. And so maybe some questions it might be helpful to ask yourself are these. Am I confusing goodness with merely being agreeable? Are my good works flowing from the Spirit or from self-effort? Where in my life right now might I need to speak or act in goodness, even if it's hard, a hard decision to make? And then the kicker here, would those around me describe my life as marked by active moral goodness? Is that how people would describe you? He's just a generally good guy. She's a good person, and she acts and speaks in that way. Could that be said about you? Maybe you're thinking here about goodness, and you're thinking about someone else who needs to be good, better, who needs more goodness in their life. Might I encourage you maybe to redirect your focus back on yourself? Are you demonstrating the goodness that you want to see in their life? Yourself? If not, come to the Lord in humility and say, teach me. And as he teaches you, as you learn the pursuit of goodness, as you learn the pursuit of what's right and what's just, and what's true, you'll be more and more well-equipped to impact the person that you're thinking of, or the people around you more generally. And then it'll lead to confrontation, it will. It'll lead to confrontation, sure, because we're sinning all the time and we need that from each other. But if it's not in the Spirit, the whole thing will just come crumbling. The whole confrontation will just fall apart if you're not walking in the Spirit, and you're self-dependent or yourself, your focus is self-effort in it all. May that be a challenge to pursue. I guess if we could simplify the definition of goodness, why don't I pull that back up here? If we could simplify the definition of goodness, we might say this: goodness is the pursuit of generosity, the truth, and what's right. Goodness is the pursuit of what's right, what's true, and what's generous. That's the commitment of goodness that we all ought to have in our lives. Let's pray.